Welcome to Grace Children's Bible Study. And we just thank you for showing up and being a part of the class. Today, I've got a lesson planned that's probably going to consume both services today, maybe even some of next week. And let me turn the old mic on.
It's on.
It's on. Can you hear me, Harry?
Yeah, Harry can hear.
Everybody can hear me now. What I want you to do first, if you would, please turn over to Philemon. Philemon, of course, there's not but one chapter, so you can't miss out on the chapter. It's Philemon, verse 3. How many times do you start out something going to Philemon, Jim? Very rarely. We want to welcome everybody that's in the internet world and whoever's watching this video, and especially the assembly here. I want to read this. I may start opening all the services with it because it's something we don't talk about. In verse 3. It says, grace to you. Now, of course, Paul wrote this letter, this epistle. But if you'll notice in a lot of his epistles, he has this. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How much do we dwell on that? You ever think about that? He's talking to us also, since he's our apostle. But grace to you. I mean, that's to you individually. And peace. Do you have peace? You have grace, unmerited favor. But do you have peace? If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary, that He was crucified, that He was buried, and that He was resurrected from the dead to pay for all your sins, and that's justification. You have peace without trusting this gospel, which is the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ. You don't have any peace. You're in turmoil. I thought I had peace during that week after I walked the aisle for Jesus and got baptized, but really I didn't have any. Solace. I didn't have any peace. I was still wondering if I was going to hell, even though I'd done what the preachers said. So, I have peace now. And if anyone is in the audience listening, wherever it may be, if you don't have any peace, it's because you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to take care of all your sins, the just for the unjust. Now, with that said, would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this internet ministry. We thank you for the ministry that God has provided for us. We know we've been called to do this willingly or not willingly, but we do it willingly as the Apostle Paul. And we just want to edify the saints that are already saved. We want lost people to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. All you've got to do is just trust in the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. That's really why we're here. You know why? The Lord's not through dealing with a saved individual until He's finished witnessing to everybody that the Lord wants us to witness to. I had a guy the other day in my Alabama class. He hadn't been in about 3 months. He's really, really sick. And when I say really, really sick, I could start naming the things wrong with him. But he told me, he says, I know the Lord's not through dealing with me yet. And I said, no, he's not. Because this individual, he's in the hospital, backers and forth, doctor's office, backers and forth, up at Dothan, Alabama, off Alabama. And he's always witnessing, even when I visited him, in the nursing home during a rehabilitation bout with something that he had going on. He was witnessing to the the nurses and to the doctors. So he knows as long as he's alive, he's going to continue to witness to people. Are you witnessing to people? Are you a great ambassador? Are you even a good ambassador? So that's what we're here for. God doesn't use good people. He uses sinners to carry His message out into the world. Do you know everybody's always been saved through grace? There's a little bit of difference, but ours is for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. But there was faith plus work. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, didn't he? So it's always about grace because we're all, what? Guilty of sin. We've been found guilty, and the ransom was paid. Now today I would like to talk to you. I'm going to enjoy this. We're going to be in all over the place, but hopefully you're going to enjoy it. It was about 6 weeks ago, somebody asked me, says, why don't we talk about Paul himself a little bit more? Said, it's been a long time since I've been through the Apostle Paul himself. And so a couple of weeks ago, I think we finished it last week, we started talking about Paul. And when his name was Saul, and when he was the Hebrew, the Jew, the Benjaminite, the Pharisee of the Pharisees. And then all of a sudden something happened to him. But I want to make a reference here to the gospel. Paul does, which he says, you've heard in Colossians chapter 1. You might as well go ahead and go on over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 23, Paul says, whereof I am made a minister. Now, he tells these Colossians, you know, Paul was not the first person in there talking to these Colossians. He wrote a letter. And I believe it's back over in, let me just take a look myself here, in Colossians. I want to go to chapter 1. And it's in verse 7. This was their minister. This is where they heard the gospel of their salvation. In verse 7, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So these Colossians was taught by Epaphras, not Paul. Then he comes in, he says in Colossians 1:23, whereof I am made a minister. But here's where I want to go in verse 24. Whom now, that's Paul, now rejoice in my sufferings for you. It's on your behalf Paul went through these sufferings. Do you realize that? And Philip, that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Now we know from previous scriptures, even over in Colossians here, that he's talking about for His body's sake as the body of Christ, which is the church. And we know Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and all saved people are members in particular in that church with differing gifts, etc. But Paul, can you imagine this? Paul was suffering afflictions. Are you? Have you suffered any afflictions by preaching? If you look around, as Jim says, you're not going to see what we teach and preach anywhere in this, for as I know, this county or the next. But yet still we have a very small assembly. People are not busting the door down to get in here to hear the truth. They're happy with their religion. I talked to an individual, I guess it was the day before yesterday. And he was across the street. I was grinding some stumps for the individual who owned the place. And he says, hey, and he called his name. He said, are you a churchgoer? And the old boy that was the electrician said, well, yeah. He said, I don't know much about the Bible. He said, I go over to Olive Baptist. And I invited him over here. And I said, look, you see how you dress? You can come just like that. You don't have to put on no tie. About the only one that ever puts on one. And the fact of it is, you need to be relaxed. You need to be at peace. You need to feel like you're wanted in an assembly. And everybody is wanted and needed in the body, but you're wanted and needed in the assembly. So he kind of shoved me off. You know, he didn't want to talk about it. Because he didn't want the individual who owned the property that was having the work done. He wanted to stimulate a conversation with that individual and me. That's what he wanted, that guy to ask me questions. Because he says, you know, I don't know a lot about the Bible, but he'll answer your questions. All you got to do is ask him. I got him to ask the question. So that individual does not know Paul was suffering for him. Now, there's only one way, one person that can suffer for your sins. The propitiation in Romans 3:25 to satisfy your ungodly person. And that's what we are. We're ungodly. But that's by trusting the gospel of the grace of God. That is the only person who, Jesus Christ, when He suffered on Calvary, He paid the ultimate price. So, when it says Paul here, who now rejoice in my sufferings and afflictions, etc., he wasn't suffering for your sin. He was suffering to get the message out. And that's what we're going to be talking about. I want you to... He suffered for righteousness' sake. And we're going to look at it. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. I had this sermon done for about 3 weeks. Been waiting to do it. And then last night about 11:30, I was reviewing it. And needless to say, had to add something. You know, when you think you got it right, you can always add more. And that's what happened to me last night. I didn't have anything about Peter and his teachings. 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to start in verse 12. Now, as you know, the Apostle Peter was a great apostle for the little flock. And he was not our apostle, and we don't take our marching orders from Jesus Christ walking around on the earth, giving the, direct before the cross, giving the apostles the marching orders to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. But what I want you to see, and this is very applicable to us in this dispensation, in verse 12 of 1 Peter 3, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, can't we apply that to us? Of course we can. There's things, and I'm going to be very honest with you, contrary to what some people try to tell, even in the grace movement, Peter, as you're going to see as we start studying more of Acts, Peter and that brethren there, they welcomed Paul into the fellowship, but not for salvation. They got along. Did you know that? They got along. James and Paul shook hands and talked. Says, come on in. Won't you look at all these Jews who are zealous of the law and Acts? So they, because Paul was always going to those feast days. Now, let's continue here. Verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Boy, I want to jump back on this, verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, and that's what Paul was doing. In Colossians 1:24, he just said so. Who now rejoice. Paul is rejoicing because he is suffering for the Lord, not suffering for sins. But it was for righteousness' sake. I like it if you, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts in verse 15, but here's where. And be ready. Are you ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear? Now the hope that I got is not a hope of salvation as they had. They're waiting and had to endure until the end. They could lose their salvation. That's not the kind of hope I'm talking about. No. To every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. My hope is to soon be with the Lord in the rapture. So, wouldn't you like to tell somebody about that hope that you have? It's a blessed hope. Wow, that is something else to me. Now, how about going over to John? See, we still haven't hit Peter's epistles yet for what I want to talk about. Go to the book of John. People say, we don't use all these scriptures. Well, they're just absolutely wrong. John chapter 15. Verse 18. Remember this. This was what was happening with Paul at the time. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Does the world hate you? It does. Saved people, the world hates you. Get it in your mind. That's true. Now, I come to a realization last night about some things that I do. Worldly. I spend a lot of time on social media called Facebook. I'm going to put a stop to that. Nothing to say give it up, because I utilize that Facebook to put scriptures out there, notify people of our services and those kind of things, and I can still do that. But I spend 3 or 4 hours a day on it. I'm wasting God's time that He's giving me. It's my time, but He's giving it to me to study, to show myself approved. I need to do more of studying and more of preaching and teaching. That's a calling. And we all have our own calling. Tricia's got a ministry here of doing what she's doing for us, putting the tapes out, etc. We've all got our own calling, whether it be just an ambassador, a witness, or whatever the case may be. But remember, if the world hate you, remember that it hated Jesus Christ before it hated you. And it did. Now, if you would, I want you to go over to Romans chapter 3. Excuse me, Romans chapter 8. Verse 36. Paul was going through this when he was suffering for you. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's exactly right. People want us dead. The world wants us dead. That's just really what it amounts to. But we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, you don't have to go there, but in Psalm 44, verse 22, he says the same thing. David does. We're supposed to, I say supposed to, this is what's going to happen. You teach the truth and you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer humiliation by your peers, your good friends, your family. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer loss of job, not in all cases, loss of a lot of things in your life. You know, people, we like to be friendly to people and nice to people. But whenever somebody comes up and tells, just say, Don, I didn't use you. Just say an unsaved person come up to me and says, you know Joseph Ellie? I said, he's a nutcase. He's out there studying something called rightly dividing. That has nothing to do with us I wasn't raised that way. He wasn't raised that way. Now, how did he get off on such a tangent like that? You know, I would stay away from him because he's liable to try to tell you how to be saved that way, and it's wrong. Well, it's not wrong. But that right there just is gossiping. Gossiper. But it's trying to break a brother down. Now, I didn't say it was that person's brother, because that person is lost. That's saying such a thing about him. But it's going to happen to you, and if it hasn't, when you get saved, just get ready. And what you have to do is put on the helmet of salvation. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and look it over and start studying it. I was encountered this week. I hate to say this, I'm just going to tell you. I was asked to speak to this lady about a month ago. Maybe 6 weeks ago, whenever I was sick and I couldn't. And it got to the point I called this man up and I said, I'm ready now. He said, well, I think she's a nutcase, but I'll set it up. So I went out and met this individual, not for that purpose. I just happened to be where she was at, met her. And as I was introduced to her, I said, you don't know who I am? She said, oh, yeah, I do. I said, your name out there on your truck where you start grinding stumps. I said, okay. She said, today's not the time. I said, okay, that's fine. To talk about the Lord and answer questions. Witness and share. Fellowship, if she's saved. You can't fellowship with an unsaved person. You can't. Well, you got, what's light got to do with darkness? And so this past, I guess it was the day before yesterday, happened to be back over in the same place, and there she was. Individual man that asked me to speak to her happened to be there. And he told her, says, why don't you go and get that booklet that you're reading, read it to him and see what he says. She did. She come back and she's trying to tell me something about the... she's a very nice person, but to a point. She was trying to tell me something about the mark of the beast just being in your mind, this kind of thing. As she started reading to me out of Deuteronomy, and I said, no, that's not to you. Well, here's where she started out. The Holy Spirit talks to me. And he's told me, that's true. He's told me this, and he told me that. And I said, are you saved? The Holy Spirit said, I am. Holy Spirit, listen to this now. She's got portions of it that's right. Holy Spirit lives in me. Well, yeah, that's true. Well, I said, what did the Holy Spirit tell you? He told me I was saved. Well, how did he tell you you were saved? He didn't, but he just told me I was saved. No, I said, no, he didn't tell you that. No, he didn't. An angel of darkness told you that. Holy Spirit doesn't come out and speak to you. He speaks to you through the King James Bible. That's what he does. He moves sinful men to write the book. That's what God uses, sinful men. But I said, he didn't speak to you in an audible tone. Don't get me this. So she just goes off on the deep end. And it's the only time, ever since I've known the gospel back in 1986 when I got saved, that I lost my cool. I lost my patience. And you know, patience is a big virtue that you really ought to thank yourself, thank the Lord for, if you've got it. But I just lost it. I got angry. I couldn't even make... She wouldn't shut her mouth long enough for me to even say anything. And it would just rampant right down my throat. I'm really serious. Have you ever gotten angry when you were trying to witness to somebody? This was pure anger. And I got up and left. I couldn't stand it any longer. You don't have to agree with me. But the fact of it is, don't just try to shove things down my throat that the Holy Spirit taught to you. It just hit me wrong that day. So, I wanted to show you that me, or it could be you, or anyone else, you can lose your long-suffering, your patience with an individual. I feel bad about it. I really do. I don't know what I'm going to do about it yet. But anyway, it's there and it's real. Now, how about going to 2 Corinthians chapter 1? The wife still sick?
Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. We're talking about the sufferings that Paul went through and the afflictions, Richard. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. What is that consolation? Comfort. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, because He paid the penalty for all of our sins by His sufferings. Now, so our comfort, our consolation that we have, we are comfortable in knowing that we are saved by grace through faith because of all His suffering. We're comfortable with that. I'm comfortable knowing I'm going to heaven by trusting what Christ did for me. That's the consolation. You ever heard of a consolation prize? Consolation because of the suffering. That's what happened. Go in to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to read in verse 10 leading up to it. But thou hast, he's talking to Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my teaching, my instruction, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, and patience. Listen to this. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And I guarantee you, He will deliver you out of years. You suffer for Christ. He is going to deliver you out of years. You don't have to worry about it yourself, trying to figure out how to get out of those afflictions and persecutions. The Lord will take care of you. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall, what guys? Suffer persecution. Are you going to live godly? Are you going to separate yourself from this world and put your mind on heavenly things instead of earthly things? If you do, you're going to suffer persecution. I know Richard does. He tells me about it. He doesn't just come out and say, well, I'm suffering persecution, but by what he's doing and who he's witnessing to, they make life hard on him. And sometimes it even affects his job. And it will. You know, there's a time and place for everything. If you're an employer and you've got Harry working for you, now you don't want Harry to spend his whole 8 hours there witnessing to all the customers and not selling anything that you're paying him for. There's a time and place. But when an opportunity arises like it did with me, when I was a recruiter, everywhere I went, it didn't just happen here in Pensacola. I witnessed all over the United States. But I had to be careful. I was in a government office. Carol had made me a plaque. It was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I just love that. So she had a plaque. She hand-stitched. Is that what you call it?
Cross-stitched.
Cross-stitched. Hung up on my wall right here. My applicant sat right there. But when he walked in, I shook hands and he had to look at the wall. Which, you shouldn't have it on the wall. But I did. I didn't say anything about it. They looked at it and sat down. And that stimulated a conversation that I didn't bring up. I was answering questions for that individual. Okay? So there's ways to do things. I would talk to them about the Air Force, because I knew they weren't interested then. I would talk to them about the Air Force Reserve and the benefits and the opportunities that it had. And I said, I will, once we get through with this program, I'll talk to you all you want to. And boy, did we do it. It worked. But I didn't take away from the company that I was representing. I wasn't, quote, stealing from the company. I had done what I had to do. I had one walk in one time, and I've mentioned in here, some of you haven't heard. I had this captain, female, I didn't know at the time, they were kicking her out of the military. She was a veterinarian. And she come to me and says, I want to join the Air Force Reserve. I said, well, sure, come on in, let's talk. Well, after she left, I went and got a RIP, and that's her life report in the military, and I found out they were fixing to give her an Article 15, and you'll kick her out. So I couldn't put her in anyway. But when she walked in, she spotted that on the wall. She says, I know what you are. I said, what's that? Now, this was before I interviewed her. She said, I know what you are. What is that? She said, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yes, I am. Well, I'm not. And she said, hey. I come to find out what they were getting her out of the military for. She's living. You don't normally see a captain living in the dormitory, officer's barracks, because they've got really nice rooms, but they want to live off base. Now, she wasn't married. They found her, and I guess it's because she was talking on military time about this to someone else, was overheard, got her first sergeant involved, got her commander involved, and they went, and they can do this. They opened her door to her room. You can do that with a cause. They found that she had an altar in her room. She was sacrificing animals' blood on an altar in her military dorm room. And it gives me chills. That girl's Satan right there, a part of Satan. She is a demonic spirit. Oh, that's why she looked at that and says, I know what you are. It was contrary to anything she was. Needless to say, I didn't have anything else to do with her. I wouldn't have put her in then for anything. So, how I got off on that, I don't know. But persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, he says. But you're going to suffer persecution. That's the whole thing. But what am I talking about? Really what this whole service is about is the opposition to the message that the Apostle Paul was preaching and teaching. That's what it's about. Well, what is it? Paul suffered for you Gentiles. Yes, he suffered for some Jews in the election of grace, as you remember. But he suffered for you Gentiles. That's the key. Now, let me ask you. If Jim comes up with a new multi-level marketing play. He's got a product that's just unheard of. Maybe he's got a brand new type of a bed that you're going to put on the market. You've been around it. You know all the products in the world. But you've come up with something that is just fabulous. Nobody else has it. And you want to start a multi-level marketing plan. Guess what? You're going to face opposition right off the bat. Your family and your friends are the worst because you always want to try to sell them something. And I'm thinking about Richard here. Whenever he sold insurance one time, I was going to go into the insurance business one time, and they said, well, you've got to make a list of all the people you've ever known, like car salesmen. Is that not true?
Oh, yeah.
You start selling to your family first. And your friends. Well, pretty soon, they don't want to hear it. They reject you, don't they? So what I'm saying is, you're going to suffer persecution by rejection or whatever it may be about whatever product it is that you want to sell them. But somebody just like that bed that you've got, one of a kind, just like that insurance, just like whatever job you've got. Somebody has got to suffer to get the message out if it's going to be successful. Is that not true? There's a real need for your product if you were selling life insurance. There's a real need for that bed that's so comfortable that nobody else in the world has got. But there was a real need that God had through the Lord Jesus Christ to get to the Apostle Paul so he could suffer to get the message of the gospel of the grace of God out to you. There's a real need, and somebody had to suffer. And who was it? The Apostle Paul. You better thank your lucky stars that the Apostle Paul did that. Now, he was going to do it one way or the other, as we know. But we know if he did it willingly, he's going to have a reward. But if not, it says the dispensation of the grace of God was going to be placed against him. He's going to have it one way or the other. Now, Acts chapter 9. I'm just going to mention this. You don't have to go there. The Lord told Ananias, he said, I will show him, talking about Paul, how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Make no mistake, there's a heavenly vision came to Ananias. Because Ananias was afraid. But that's when he said, he's a chosen vessel. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You don't have to do all that. Well, go there, please. 2 Corinthians. Because I want to spend a little time here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but it just so happens that I wanted to incorporate it back into this service. Verse 24. Paul says, of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. We know that we said that's 39 stripes. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Let me see your bruise marks, Candy. You got any? Anybody beat you with a rod, Harry? What about you? Me neither. Once I was stoned. Anybody throwing stones at you? You drove through the wrong part of town.
You're right.
Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Well, I know that ain't going to happen to me because my boats won't float. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. You know, I got to thinking about this word here, in journeyings often. You know, I think of a trucker when I think of in journeyings often. Truckers drive from here, California, Quebec, Mexico City, back here, back all over. But you know what? They never see anything except the interstates. In journeyings often, Paul, if you'll notice, once he started getting out with that message, when Barnabas and Saul was separated by the Holy Ghost for the job that he was calling to do, he just was always gone. And he was preaching the message and he was suffering persecutions. He was always on the road. Now, the most I think he's ever stayed in one place was like a year and a half, maybe 2 years at the most. He's worse than being in the United States Army. You know, he was always gone. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen. You know, and I see this. We know he's talking about the Jew here, of course, because he was a Jew. But you know, have you been in perils by your own countrymen, by your own families, by your own friends, countrymen, fellow Gentiles, in perils by the heathen, unbelievers, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. Go with me to 8:18 of Romans. Romans 8:18. You saw this man went through what we call hell on earth. But it's nothing to be compared with what an unbeliever is going to go through in what we call Hades. Some people call it hell once they die. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You think your life's horrible? You think you've been through troubles? Paul went through a lot of things, and he still wrote that. You ain't been through nothing like Paul went through. Yet, account yourself as wonderful. Man, what have you suffered for the Lord? Well, I had to spend 35 years of not knowing the truth. I suffered. Man, did I... Not even suffering. I was worried about going to hell is what I was, and that was an agonizing factor, knowing I was lost, doomed, and down, headed to hell. That is a persecution in a sense. But it was because I wouldn't trust the Lord. I wouldn't give up the pride that I had. Hey, that's not right. You've got to be baptized for remission of sins. Religion can't be wrong. All these PhDs, all these scholars in the world can't be wrong. I gotta do what they want me to do. And I did it. And I was still wrong. God didn't complicate the salvation message. He just didn't do it. If He had, I would have never got it. I know I wouldn't have. But I reckon that the sufferings of this present time... Now, Paul was writing back then, about 1900 years ago. But I'm going to tell you, that present time is just like the present time we are in this moment. Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be, hasn't yet, which shall be revealed in us. Are you waiting for that? Shall be. Paul suffered great things on a daily basis. Suffered horrible things just to get the message out. Praise God that he suffered for us Gentiles. He was the apostle of the Gentiles. Now, I will tell you, and you know this, those people that have children in here, specifically the dads, you know you love your children. And when they're growing up, they're little babies. Wouldn't you do anything to protect them? Yes, you would. You don't want them to suffer. You will suffer first to keep that little boy or that little girl from suffering. I guarantee you will. That's what Paul did. He suffered for us. Even though Paul is not here in the flesh speaking to us, he speaks to us through the writings that he placed in a book that was given to him by the risen Savior. The Holy Spirit had him pen those words. He died eventually, but he suffered persecutions after persecutions, tribulations, afflictions, all for you in this room, including myself. Paul did, to get the message out so we could trust the gospel of the grace of God. That's what he did. Now, there's opposition, guys. Paul talks about this opposition in just about every one of his epistles, including what we call the pre-prison epistles. Those are the Acts epistles. And also the prison epistles, when he was a prisoner for you Gentiles in Rome. We're going to take a break.